Joining us now is U.S. Senator Joseph Lieberman, who is with us and by phone, and I think we've got him right now. Hi.
Hi, Colin.
Well, let's get right down to brass tacks. You probably know that I wrote in The Current last Sunday that if I had to vote in the primary right now, I would, with some sorrow, vote for Ned Lamont, simply because you have kind of drifted so far towards the Bush administration, whose policies I don't approve of very much. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why I should vote for you.
Well, I think that your statement just then is as ridiculous and unfair as your column was.
Mm-hmm.
I was really... upset by it. I don't get to hear you a lot because I'm in Washington, but if you're saying that on the air, really, I hope your listeners are taking it with a grain of salt. First off, let me go to something that really bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
You have this line saying that I've come to a point where I'm saying that those who do not parrot my support of the war are unpatriotic, and then you take totally out of context something that I said in a speech that I gave last December when I came back from Iraq. And I urge you to go back and look at that whole speech.
Okay. Well, tell me why that's...
Let me just finish this. At the very top of the speech,
probably
in the second paragraph, I said that debate about the war is not only healthy, it is necessary. And the whole focus of the speech was that we should not make something as serious as the war with 160,000 Americans over there then and a lot on the line for our security, a matter of partisan whacking at one another. And the very line before or after the line that you've misquoted where I talk about Bush is an appeal to the Republicans to cut out their partisanship in dealing with the war as well. So
Well, first of all, I didn't misquote the line.
It is important. Yeah. I'm for it. And it's what the country's all about. But when you get partisan over national security, and that's your main motivation on either side, you're doing a disservice to our country.
Well,
being a Democrat or Republican is more important than being an American.
Let me read the line to you again. I don't think you used the word misquote. Now, I may have not quoted in the context that you think is fair, but let me read.
You go back and read the speech.
Well, let me read the line to you.
About me saying that those who do not parrot my position are unpatriotic is outrageous. It's an insult to me, and I want you to know that.
Okay, well, let me read the line to you, and then you tell me.
I know what the line is. I read it.
Well, I mean, but the listeners don't, so you tell me how to interpret it. The line is, it's time for Democrats who distrust the president, to distrust President Bush, to acknowledge that he will be the commander-in-chief for three more critical years, and that in matters of war, we undermine the president's credibility at our nation's peril.
Correct.
Well,
and look, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Go back and read the speech, and
okay,
you will see at that point I was talking not about debate, not about Jack Murtha, for instance, who's an honorable guy and spoke from inside his guts, not for partisan reasons. I was saying that in Washington there is too much partisanship about everything, and it stops us from getting a lot done. But one place there's no room for partisanship is in matters of national security. I quoted Arthur Vandenberg, who worked with President Truman in fighting the Soviet Union after the Second World War. And I urge you to go back because the line before made a similar appeal to Republicans to cut the partisanship and for the White House, if they wanted true cooperation on this, to reach out to Democrats and bring them into conversations about how we could work together. So that's why I say this quote is totally out of context. You might have gotten it from the bloggers who love to do this.
No, actually,
speech, it's below your standards.
Senator, I got it from the New York Times.
Well, that's just as bad. Go back and read the whole speech. You're more responsible.
Well, let me ask you this. If we want to debate this line anyway, or the context of this line, what does it say to somebody who doesn't trust the president, who feels that we've been led into war under false pretenses, that we've rarely been given the complete story?
I want to speak to that person, and I want to say you have every right to speak out. And if you speak out from that conscience, don't worry about the line that I spoke there. That line is addressed to people who are taking partisan shots at one another in a matter of war. So that's why I say Jack Murtha, he's been very critical of the president, but I know him, and I know he's speaking sincerely from what he thinks is best for the country and, incidentally, for the Army, for the military. I don't think it's partisan. I respect them. I wish a lot of others would have the courage either to take the position he does or stop the partisan sniping and acknowledge that most Americans, certainly most members of the Senate in both parties, want us to successfully complete what we're doing in Iraq so we can bring the troops home. That's where I am.
But you know, once again, I don't understand the distinction that you make between partisan sniping and objecting to the policies of the Bush administration.
Let me tell you, I've been there. I see partisan sniping. If you don't see it, I'm surprised that people taking a shot. Look, here's why I cite Murthen, why I respect him so much. He had the nerve to say, I think we've got to get out of Iraq as soon as we can, 3 months or 6 months. You listen to a lot of other people, and here I'm focusing on Democrats, but believe me, there's as harsh and rigid partisanship on the Republican side in casting aspersions on Democrats and our responsibility and our capability of handling security as on the Democratic side. But you listen to other Democrats who are constantly negative about the war and giving the dark side of it, and then you ask them, do you think Murtha was right and we should get out in 3 or 6? Oh, my God, no, we can't do that. We got to successfully complete what we're doing there. We can't abandon a fledgling democracy. We don't want to invite a civil war there. Well, if that's the truth, then let's see how we can figure out how to work together. I want to come back to your initial question.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you or anybody else has the right to vote for my opponent. Why do I think that would be foolish and irresponsible? You would be replacing somebody who has worked hard and fought for this state and delivered for this state in a lot of ways in 17 years as a United States senator, for in funding for transportation and protecting jobs and investment in Connecticut business and protecting our environment, in fighting for funding for education and responding to every mayor who has come to me about public projects that they need and doing my best increasingly over the years as my seniority has grown, and having the ability to work across party lines to get things done for Connecticut. And you would be, I don't ask to be reelected based on my record alone, but the record gives you some idea of what I will do in the next 6 years. And you're going to be trading in, I think because of one issue, the war, a senator who will really continue to fight for the people of this state and deliver with the background and seniority I have and the independence of mind. I mean, you think I have a political death wish. I have a wish to do the right thing. You may disagree with it, but in all the cases you've cited, there was no political plus in taking a position I took, particularly not in a Democratic primary.
Well, that's sort of why I called
it because I thought it was right. So you're gonna, because you're angry about mostly the war, you're gonna replace me with a guy who's been on the Greenwich Board of Selectmen, and I don't think you know where he is on most issues. So we disagree on the war, we can debate it. I think on a lot of the other issues, you and a lot of other people in the state and in the Democratic Party would support my position. So
you know,
I hope you will not make up your mind yet.
No, I haven't made up my mind, and I made that clear in the column that I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I'm just going to extend this conversation a little bit. And just
the best part of the column was when you compared my opponent to the Cat in the Hat.
Well, I knew you would like that part. But let me just ask you this one.
I think I want to be the Lorax if you're using Dr. Seuss.
Let me just ask you this one last question. It did seem that for about 12 to 15 months, you made a special effort to position yourself as close to the Bush administration in a lot of different ways as you possibly could. And I remain kind of baffled by that. I mean, can you explain why that was? That
this is simply not true. Mm. And you're too smart to make that statement. And you're falling for a line here. Look at my record. There's a vote. There's a National Journal rating of votes last year. I voted the Democratic position 90% of the time. Harry Reid voted the Democratic position 92% of the time. I mean, I have from the beginning aggressively opposed the Bush tax cuts and fiscal policy. I've said it's fiscally irresponsible. I've been one of the leading opponents of his environmental policy. I've fought the budget cuts for for education and health care. I have led the investigation with Susan Collins of the administration screw-ups of Katrina. I fought for information that they refused to give. It's just not right. I have had a similar goal in Iraq. I've even criticized the Bush administration for the way they've conducted the war. Too few troops in after Saddam was overthrown, not following the State Department plan for political and economic reconstruction, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I'm not going to change my position on how important I thought it was to overthrow Saddam Hussein and now build a self-governing, self-protecting, modernizing Iraq in the middle of the Arab-Islamic world simply because George Bush has a similar goal. And let's not forget one other thing, Colin. I ran against him with Al Gore in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got elected. I was so disappointed by his record that I sought the presidential nomination in 2004. It didn't work out, but this notion that, you know, I stop every night on the way home to tuck the president into bed in Washington is just laughable. It's a sign of the sickness of our politics. What's happening now, the hatred of Bush is as corrosive and wrong as the hatred of Clinton by Republicans. Look, I disagree with him, and as my record shows, on most of the things this president has done. But, you know, this is one country, and I'm going to have those arguments in votes that I cast and speeches that I make. If we start thinking that our loyalty to party is more important than our loyalty to the country, and our hatred of somebody means that we've got to oppose them on everything, even if we agree with them, then we're going to be in more trouble than we're in today. And those larger questions are on the line in this primary. It's obviously about my record and which one of us will do a better job for Connecticut for the next 6 years. But it's also, frankly, a challenge or a question to Democrats in the state. What kind of Democratic Party do we want to have? Do we want to have a party that says, if you're not with me 100%, you're not with me at all? And it's also about what kind of politics we want to have. Are we going to have a politics that's so us and them, Democrats against Republicans, that we forget what's in the national interest? And I'm not going to sit back and let that happen.
Well, Senator Lieberman, we're way out of time, but I did want you to have your say. And
this is in the full spirit of our democracy, equal time.
Yeah.
At least.
And we will look forward to other visits by you
Thank
as well.
Thank you, Colin.
Okay. Bye-bye.